This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, Sunbury Motor Company, and Purdy Insurance. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
This half hour brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks, lots and lots of snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and out every day. Six great flavors of slushies. And the pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills, my two favorites. Indeed, second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And with that, we bring in the phenomenal... He, I think, hits a draw into every hole. Nate Bauer.
Pretty accurate. I think it's a draw most of the time. What's going on?
Well, it's funny because Jack Ham and I were playing Sonny Hanna earlier this week. You'll love this story. I don't know. This is one of those, Nate, I had a good drive. So I'm about maybe 152 out, I think they said. So I took a 9-iron. And Jack says to me, you know, it's his, you know, I mean, he's a member. He says the key is hit it to the right side, and he says he'll go down to the green. Well, I'm left-handed, okay? And I hit a draw. So I take it, and I go left to right, comes down, right? And it, I don't know, I'm 2 feet from the hole.
Right? There you go.
And he looks at me, he says, well, that's another way to do it.
Where is my invitation to Sonny Hanna with Steve Jones and Jack Kim? I'm wondering. What are we doing here?
I will take you down if you want to go. Absolutely. You know what's great when you go in there? I know we'll get to the issues in a moment. But when you walk into the clubhouse, they have pictures of all the great champions. You know, Tiger Woods, what year he competed there. And, of course, it's the picture of when they competed. So it's like when I talk about Tiger Woods, like a young Tiger Woods, a young Phil Mickelson. Colin Morikawa won the tournament in 2016. Scottie Scheffler played in it. Ricky Fowler won it twice. You know, they had, I mean, you'd just going there you'd love because those are all the people that have won there. So.
Have not made it. It has been on my list, and I hate to invite myself, but I feel like I'm doing that right now.
Sometimes you have to do things. I'm a big proponent. I always have been of like, okay, you look out there and who's there, and you work with who's there. But part of reporting is, and your job is to report who's not there. And that has been the story this week about who's not there. And I'm sure, you know, let's face it, it'll be the first question that's asked to James Franklin, but there's probably absolutely nothing he can say about it, right?
That's correct. The statement that they left, obviously, we're talking about Jameel Lyons, defensive end, and Kavion Keys, the linebacker, who are under, I believe the term is interim suspension, and to deal with a personal issue, right? That's the official terminology. That's the statement from Penn State. And the second half of that statement is Penn State, like, there will be no further comment. So it will have to be asked. Franklin will not give any more than that, to be honest with you. There's nothing more to say, right?
Right.
The situation that they are entangled in is one that they are going to have to deal with as, individuals. And until it's resolved in one direction or another, it's purgatory, right? It's status quo. This is just a state of limbo. And I think that broadly speaking, Penn State, as you need to do in situations like this, and even in injury situations where you don't have a timeline on an expected return, you just have to proceed, right? You have to proceed as though your backup plan is the new plan.
And so let's go with defensive end. And Zariah Fisher, of course, not ready yet, in combination now with Lyons. So what makes that spot interesting? Because, I mean, you can think of four guys right away that have played that will fill it. But to me, the key is finding that fifth guy.
Yes, 100%. I think that, you know, certainly just to tick off the names, obviously, Deni Dennis Sutton will return as a starter. Abdul Carter is obviously, going to be paired with him as, you know, those will be the two starters there. Backing them up, you've got Amin Vanover, who has a ton of experience and is good. He's a good player.
Sure is.
So I think, I'm sorry, what was that?
I said he sure is. I mean, he is not a star, but he wins games for you.
100%. And then the fourth, right, is I think going to be Smith Vilbert,
yep,
who is similarly in that vein of not talked about because out of sight, out of mind. I mean, he hasn't played in 2 years, so it's been it's not somebody who's been on the tip of tongues for Penn State fans in a couple of years. He obviously had that Outback Bowl stat performance that really wasn't necessarily indicative of where he was in terms of his trajectory and his talent at that time. But, you know, internally, the sentiment for him over the past, what, Steve? I mean, we talked to Penn State people 6 months, 8 months, has
yeah.
been very enthusiastic.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think it's a situation of panic by any means, but certainly the pressure is more on those two guys, Mean and Smith, to hit, right? to be capable, reliable, productive mm-hmm. backups to their starters there at end.
Which then brings us to Keys. And Tom Allen, as we know, sometimes plays three, but a lot of times plays two. Keys would have lined up with the third group in all likelihood, but you'd still love the luxury of having him. Because of how Tom plays, does that in some way lessen the impact of not having him there?
Yes, I think so. I just think it puts you in a spot where the pressures of figuring out what to do with Abdul come more into focus.
And can I have one? Can I have one more part to that, though? Keon Wiley
sure.
would have been a part of that mix as well, and he's 100%. Not quite ready yet either. That does complicate it a bit.
100%. You've lost. You know, Abdul moving out of the room in the first place had its own implications, right?
Mm-hmm.
That was something where, okay, Tom Allen's bringing this system in that's probably going to rely more on two linebackers instead of three. You've got Jalen Reed more or less filling a linebacker-esque role this mm-hmm. season. But, okay, Abdul's out of the room. It's good that you have flexibility for him, that he can moonlight for you and do different things based on what the opponent calls for. But Keon Wiley's injury, yeah, that already stung. Throw Kavion Keys being in limbo right now. And, it is certainly more tenuous than it had been, again, 8 months ago, 7 months ago.
Right. Anything that you're looking for out of Media Day, or is it just something where you just kind of let it come to you and then you figure out what to do with it when it's done?
Yeah, good question. I mean, you know me. I mostly let things come to me. I think that stories kind of present themselves sometimes. Mm-hmm. And the Penn State football does a very good job of training its coaches and players to respond to the questions that are asked of them. And so if you ask about specific players, they will respond about specific players. If you ask more open-ended questions, right, that allow for some thought and consideration, you'll get some of that. And so I think going into it with a mindset of, hey, I got to find out about Drew Aller as a leader, right, for instance, as a storyline. If you do that and have that in your mindset, you're going to preclude yourself from learning about some of the other guys that have taken on broader leadership roles this this offseason, right? Or who might be buzzing. I mean, you name it. There's plenty of different narratives out there and storylines that I think everybody's watching, right? What's the vibe this year? Is this a Joe Moorhead fun offense that everyone's rallying around, or are they under the pressure cooker? Right, you name it. There's lots out there of interest, but if you target in on it as a journalist and come into it with the mindset that I'm gonna get responses to specific narratives that I'm trying to write about, I think it shields you and precludes you from learning some of the more interesting things that are out there.
You, of course, part of the job is you do have to communicate on your message board on On3.com and Blue White Illustrated, and you communicate on it all the time. Do you ever ask questions of players or coaches based on something on a message board that you read?
Absolutely. Because, right, in my mind, I am filling a role that serves as a conduit between the program and the fans that are consuming it. And so it really doesn't matter what my interests are. What are the interests of the fans? What do fans want to know? And so there have been things that come across. And look, like I have my own pool of information to deal with, right? That helps me and informs me in terms of what I'm seeking out. But if the message board community is, you know, clamoring for information on who the fourth or fifth safety will be, yeah, get that. Right. Like, you know, get that information. Try to find out what they're thinking, where their heads are at, and go from there.
How do you want to approach the wide receiver part? Do you just want to talk to them, talk to Marcus? Do you want to talk to the two quarterbacks? I mean, you know, what usually gives you the best indicator of what they think of the receivers?
Yeah, I'll be honest. And I think that we've touched on this before, but I think that James Franklin is a great barometer. I think that he provides an honest assessment more often than not in his public comments about where a group is. And so Marcus Haggins this summer, Andy Cole Nicky this summer, and Drew Aller this summer, right? I have conversations with all three of them through the course of the summer, were all highly complimentary of the progress made in that room. And, you know, Marcus Haggins talking about backs against the wall and, you know, proving people wrong, and Andy Cole and Nicky talking about, they're going to surprise people. Okay, all of those things, all of those statements are a good indicator of where Penn State is coming from, but it's not a good indicator of where Penn State is. And so to me, when I listen to James Franklin talk about it, it is provided or contextualized in terms of, hey, they have done enough or haven't done enough to beat the teams that they're trying to beat. His post-blue-white game comments, I thought, were remarkably telling, because it's not a problem of the receivers being miserable or horrible. They're not a bad group. They are fine to win 10 games, right? Mm-hmm. Like, they are. There's plenty of talent in that room. There's plenty of ability. And some of those guys that will elevate this year, Caden Saunders, Omari Evans, Liam Clifford, those guys who are elevating will be just fine. That's not the conversation. The conversation and the question at hand based on where this Penn State football program is can they beat Ohio State? Can they beat Southern Cal? Can they beat Wisconsin? And, you know, we're going to find that out through the course of the season, but it's to me, that is the angle, that is the side of this that doesn't really have an answer. And I'm not sure we're gonna have an answer until those games actually happen. But it's gonna be interesting to see tomorrow where they are on that timeline.
Yeah, I'll quickly say about James Franklin. When I hear him do a presser, post game, middle of the week, whatever, and you know I'm there. So believe me, he gives pretty good straight direct answers as to what is going on and what he's thinking. He really does. So anybody who thinks it's a sandbag job or anything like that, don't be naive, okay? I mean, it's adorable to be the smart guy at the tailgate, and I'd like to point out over here you might not be.
I'm giving away the game here, Steve, but your Thursday night coaches show interview is, to me, one of the most fruitful things that he does, because he always provides you honest answers. He's more candid. Sure, there are things that he can't talk about or that he won't talk about. And he has a predilection for avoiding a negative slant on things, of course. Mm-hmm. But he will provide insights and give a fairly accurate assessment of where things stand within his football program. And I value that greatly. I write Offies of Thursday night all the time.
Well, somebody else who does that is Mike Rhodes, as you know. And they've had some media availabilities as the basketball team gets down to the last, like, 5-6 days of their summer workout schedule. What have you picked up from him about them to this point?
Yeah. I don't know if it's necessarily things he has said that have been as impactful as the things you can see, right, when you're there at practice. And the things that you can see are that this is a dramatically longer team than what they played with last year. The influx of players that they bring, 8 new faces in the program, 4 transfers, 4 incoming freshmen, they're all 6'5 or taller, right? I think there's one exception to that. But overwhelmingly, these guys are big. Talking about it yesterday, Freddie DeLeon, who can rebound the basketball, right? Provides you a rebounding body at the guard position, right? And not Jalen Pickett style, right? He can provide you that as a 6'5 guard, and then doesn't have to kick it out to put the ball back up the floor. He can push it himself. It changes what they're able to do. It changes the press to have 6'7", 6'8" wings. It changes the press to have a 7-footer, 7'1" guy in Yannick on the back end of that press. I think they were very purposeful in what they did in the transfer portal, and certainly what they did on the recruiting side of things, including, you know, whether people realize this or not, they could have kept recruiting class of 2024 guys, right? They knew what the numbers were going to be. They understood what the transfer situation was going to be. They said, no, the class can't be bigger than the 4 that they were bringing in, because they needed ready-to-play bodies. They needed ready-to-play guys through the transfer portal that they could count on providing an impact right away. And honestly, across the board, they have that. all 4 of those guys that they brought in from the transfer market are going to play this season.
But they will, and not only that, it helps that guys that return. I mean, Ace has been, to be honest with you, Ace has been terrific this summer. Puff Johnson's been terrific this summer. And I'll give you a quote that I hear from him all the time. Anytime something happens, he says, hey, look. He says, everybody's got to pick it up. We've got dudes. Right? Well, that's his quote. Yep. They have dudes.
Yep. No, they do. They do. And I think that the first thing you mentioned there, Ace's, I don't want to call it a transformation, but I think certainly his development and maturation has been a massive piece of the puzzle for them.
No question.
Right? He and I hate to put it in these terms because right? Like, these are kids at the end of the day. I'm a 40-year-old sure. guy, Mike Gundy, right? So criticizing the speed that someone matures at is stupid. I choose not to do that. But it is important for Penn State basketball to have Ace be that guy. And I think from the onset, from, you know, thinking back to my interview with Mike at Coaches versus Cancer, he let it out there and said, hey, Ace, you need more from Ace. You need, like, from that position, from the best player on your team, from a guy who has that type of competitive streak and that type of productivity, you need him to be something different than what he was last year in terms of team chemistry, leadership, all of those intangibles. And I think very much he has fulfilled that side of things, and it is paying off dividends for them this summer.
Always a pleasure. Look forward to seeing you.
Hey, thanks so much. I'll see you tomorrow.
Nate Bauer, this half hour brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
You want a unique way to display your brand. You need a team of seasoned experts to work with. You want to reach customers who buy. You want NIL Game Changers, a versatile consulting agency powered by former student athletes and coaches who work as NIL sports agents. NIL Game Changers will help you build powerful relationships with customers through compelling stories, with student athlete influencers as your leading edge. Finally, we'll equip you with the right media to drive your success home. NILGameChangers.org, building meaningful relationships with your customers.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The beverage supermarket has the area's largest beer selection, imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, and Sunbury Motor Company. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Yes, indeed, and brought to you by our good friends at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com, auto, home, life, business, boat, motorcycle, RV. They'll make sure you're fully insured. And they'll save you money. They're the pros. And not only that, they give back. That's what that's what good people do. And next Wednesday, we will gather together at the Susquehanna Valley Country Club for the Truman H. Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament to benefit the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA. And that's going to be a fun time. Todd will be there. I'll be there. The suit is not officially committed yet, kind of taking the Arnold Palmer approach where he'll just show up and goes, oh, it's the suit. Oh.
Hopefully he shows up with Arnold Palmer's.
A whole bunch of bottles. Hey, here we go.
I do have the king on the line, sir.
By the way, I looked at the banner at the top of the Big Ten website with USC, Washington, and Oregon officially in today. Today's actually their first day officially in the conference. Man, that banner's crowded up top. there's 18 of them there. What the heck? That's a lot of schools. The king, actually, there is a question for the king.
What's that?
A listener doing great. Now, This is from Rob. Says, if Kevin the King is on Friday, I'm curious if he is still watching Big Brother.
Absolutely.
Is he aware that one of the people on the show is a former Penn State football player, Cam Sullivan Brown?
Yeah, Cam. I didn't know he was a Penn State player. I knew he was a football player. He played in the Canadian Football League, I believe. But, yeah, he's quiet. He's going under the radar. And that, no one's really paying a lot of attention to him. But Rob's got to agree that that Angela woman's got to go. I mean, this woman's a freaking whack job. Oh, she's crazy. I mean, she talks to herself. Then they wanted to vote her off, but they figured there's no way she can win, so we'll just leave her there and let her just wander around the house and cause trouble. But, yeah, it's a good show. It's my favorite show. I tape it. I get Big Brother after dark, so I get the live feeds at night and watch what's going on. On 24/7. So, any more questions?
Cam, of course, was here at Penn State, and then and he put his name in the transfer portal, pulled his name out, stayed, then at the end transferred to UMass, I believe. So then he continues on. I think he played 1 year at UMass. He played most of his career here. He says, quote, "While I know Steve has probably never seen the show..."
You're missing a lot, man. It's the best show on TV. So,
he says, I'm curious...
Blue Bloods.
He says, I'm curious if he has any insights into Cam's personality, if he can pull off the social game with a hint of deception. So
I think that's what he's doing now.
Yeah.
Because he's really laying back. I mean, physically, the guy's ripped, you know. So right. Physically, there's no issue there as far as the physical competitions. But he's laid back. He's playing a smart game right now. Don't get involved. Just stay in the background. So, because there's still like 14 house guests there. 14 or 13, whatever. Once it gets down to about 10, then you really got to start playing.
He's not going to get anybody mad, okay? Cam is not going to make anybody mad. He doesn't have that kind of personality.
He's playing the game. He's just kind of, his social game is what he wants it to be right now. That's a real important part of Big Brother, it's a social game. You know, get people to like you.
That's
don't
Cam.
Cause trouble. Don't rock the boat and stay in
Cam.
The background.
Yep.
And then it gets to a point that it's time that you got to play. But you set yourself up with alliances and stuff like that. But he's physically intimidating there. Not badly. I don't mean that in a bad way, but he's bigger than everyone else. So.
Yeah.
But he's playing a good game. Good question. Yeah. I like Rob.
Hey, there you go. Well, there's your question. There's your answer, Rob. I hope that helps out because, again, but that's Cam's personality. He's a very much under-the-radar kind of guy. Everybody likes him. I mean, it's like people just like being around him, and that's who he is and how he goes about his business. So, I mean, that part I can talk to. Big Brother, by the way, I do like Blue Bloods. I mean, even on the road, I'll watch Friday night some of that. Yeah, but
I'll probably watch every episode 6 times. So, I mean, Danny Reagan's my hero. So, anyway. I had a thing this week. You know, if you're a baseball player, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And you succeed 30% of the time, you're in the Hall of Fame, right?
Right. Right.
Meaning if you fail 70% of the time, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
If you're a football player and you fumble, well, you can carry the ball next time and score a touchdown. Everyone forgets to fumble. Your team wins. Hip, hip, hooray. The same in other sports. I'm watching these gymnastics in the Olympics. Mm-hmm. They train so hard for 4 years for 2 friggin' minutes, And if they take an extra hop after spinning 12 feet in the air, they're done. They lose.
Right.
And there is no taking it back. And I was just totally blown away by how strict and how dedicated they are, and how one slip-up can take 4 years of hard work away. Where in other sports, you got another chance, you know? You don't have another chance in gymnastics.
Well, yes and no. Because let's take baseball. I mean, you got to go out there 162 times, or in Aaron Judge's case, 100. But 100, I'm just kidding, 162 times to do it. And, like, if you're a hitter, you get four shots a night at doing it.
Yeah.
As opposed to this, where you get a shot, right? All the falls and everything like that are happening in practice, happening in practice, happening in practice. Just like in, for example, in baseball, batting practice. I mean, there's a whole bunch of not swing and misses in batting practice, but balls that would be caught left and right all the time. Now, but the difference is that 70% fail rate is equated over exponentially more opportunities to do it, as opposed to a sport that's judged. Okay, it's judged. You're not sitting there like, boy, Aaron Judge hit a fly ball to center and they caught it at the wall. I'd give that an 8. Right? That doesn't happen. This is a judged sport where it's subjective, where people are sitting there and say, well, I think that is a... Now I realize now they're doing a different scoring system. We'll use the old scoring system. That's a 9.8. And the person next to me graded it at 9.2. Okay. Really?
It's like, I'm talking about falling down. I'm talking about you take a step and that's it, you're done. I'm not talking about how a judge scores it. That is what it is. I'm saying you make one mistake and that's it. You don't, there's no, like, you got 2 minutes to go out and do your routine and that's it. And you've trained all year for that 2 minutes. That one, and if you're Simone Biles, you're doing it with 80 cameras in your face. Mm-hmm. And an entire audience of celebrities who flew all the way out there just to watch you for that 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
It just fascinated me how the mental capacity of what they have to do and the total mental letdown if they fail. And you're talking, that girl's jumping 12 feet in the air, flipping four times and spinning three times, and she's got to land on 2 feet.
Oh,
that would be the last thing I ever did in my life.
That's nothing.
Laying on the bat like what?
No, that's nothing.
I couldn't do that on a trampoline. Yeah, you know?
The suit did that in the hallway the other day. What? Come on.
I can't. Man, they are just amazing what they do.
And I want to give the Chicago Bears credit.
Yeah, for letting him go.
Because Jonathan Owens has been allowed to be there to be with his wife. And, you know, he'll join the Bears camp next week. And they've got plenty of time until the start of the season anyway. But I give the Bears credit for allowing him to be there. And I think that's great that he could be there
really
to support.
Cool they did that. So, it was the right thing to do, but they didn't even question it. They were like, yeah, go.
Soup, by the way, texted me. He said when he flipped in the hallway, he did stick the landing. Now the difference is he didn't tell you what part of his body stuck the landing, but he stuck it.
Winked at the camera.
Hey, yeah. I stuck it. What part stuck? We'll come back to you a little bit later on that. We'll take a break. Back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
when car repairs get difficult?
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Hi, this is Season. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855. Visit our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what we can do for you.
Down the stretch we come here. The Olympics continue this weekend. Yes, you were going to say something?
Yeah, what West Coast teams are you guys going to play this year? By turn?
At USC, and then Washington and UCLA come here. And in basketball...
Wow.
And in basketball... you play everybody. So I'm going to make two trips to Los Angeles. I got the USC game out there in October, and then I don't know yet which weekend in the basketball season we go to USC and UCLA. Oregon and Washington in basketball will come here. And then next year, Penn State will go to Oregon and Washington, and USC and UCLA will come here.
Have they ever played Oregon?
In the Rose Bowl, they did in 1994-95 and won the game. And in basketball,
he's going to be the best quarterback that comes out this year.
Oh, Dylan Gabriel's really good. And it's a league that is interesting when it comes to quarterback because Gabriel's an established quarterback. Drew Aller is heading into his second year as a starter. And Will Howard at Ohio State is at least a guy that's been an established starter based on what he did at Kansas State. There are very few other guys in this conference that have a ton of experience at quarterback. Now, Altmyer at Illinois has some. Well, yeah, I mean, Aller's going to his second year as a starter. Like Dylan Raiola at Nebraska's a true freshman. Hudson Card is established, but he struggled on this level at Purdue. Tyler Van Dyke at Wisconsin, transfer from Miami. I mean,
okay.
But that's the conference. New quarterback at USC, new quarterback at Washington. I think Garber's going to be the
solid programs.
Yeah,
it's going to. And now, is this year the expanded playoffs?
Yes, it is. Yep, goes to 12.
So that's good.
Yeah.
So that kind of evens it out. You can lose a game or two and still be in it. So.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And that's for everybody. Everybody's in that boat. They can lose a game or two and still be in it, which is a good thing. It's the way it should have been a long, long time ago. When you only have 3% of your teams in a playoff, that's not good. And that's the way it was. They only had 3%. At least now they've got it up.
It creates parity, too.
Yeah, it gets it up to 9%. The NCAA men's basketball tournament has 19%. So 81% are out, 19% are in. That's, to me, is a, you know, that's why I've been a big proponent. Let's just go to 16, get the thing over with, because you're going to go to 16 anyway. Just do it. Just do it.
I think it's awesome. I mean, we'll see what happens. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean.
Hey, you know who I ran into the other day? I not talked to her, but what the heck's her name? Katie Lou Samuelson. She plays for Indiana. Yeah. She played at UConn.
Yeah, yep. Yeah, I remember.
Oh, my God. Beautiful girl. Absolutely stunning. And but tall. I mean, wow.
Yeah.
I was in Cumberland Farms. So they are the only, you know, I live at UConn. I live a half mile from Gamble Pavilion. Yep. They are the only athletes I've seen since I've been there is the females. Katie Lou, I saw Paige Becker. I saw Nika Mule. And then the assistant coach, I held the door for
Chris Daly.
Chris Daly, they're out and about. The other athletes, I mean, if I've seen football players or basketball players, I definitely haven't seen any male basketball players.
Yeah.
So it's a weird town because there's only two gas stations, so you have to run into them sometime.
Yeah.
You know?
Cumberland Farms time is 7-Eleven. Oh, wait. No, that's not good.
No, we don't have a 7-Eleven. We have a Cumberland Farms and another little convenience store and a dollar store, and that's it. Stores, Connecticut, there's very, very little there. But
Can't wait to you. Everybody's like,
everywhere.
I want to go there. Like, really? You do?
Yeah. Oh, it's a gorgeous campus. It is just... it's plush. But it's quiet. And even when the students are there, it's quiet. It's not like State College.
Well, that's not. You know, you wouldn't describe that here.
No, you got a pretty busy place. So
you have people here who there's some people who live here that their two favorite times of the year, the three favorite times of the year, Christmas break. The break between spring semester and summer session and the end of summer session before fall session because the students aren't in town.
Fall session, all heck breaks loose. I mean, there's traffic everywhere. But, you know, when you live there, you know the roads around it. You know, you can stay away from it.
See, that's easy for me. I can get around no matter what. I know.
Right.
I know back ways.
You've got your back roads and your back ways in and out. We've got that, but... I'm very happy there. So, and my wife, she's a flower genius, and we won house of the place. So there's 200 homes there. We won house of the month. So very proud of my wife. So
there you go. Congrats to Claire. Way to go.
Yeah, she. I mow the lawn. That's it.
I've got to go do that this weekend at some point, and then of course, Mike's moving in this weekend. So,
yeah, he's moving back to State College.
Yeah, he starts his job on Monday.
Where's he working?
Encompass Health South Rehabilitation Center. He's the number three guy there.
Good for him. That's great.
Yep,
that's good. Your family's coming back to State College. That's good.
Yep. So there you go. Hey, have a great weekend. Glad you could answer the listener question so effectively.
Yeah, well, if you talk to him, ask him if he watches Survivor.
Okay.
The show.
Okay. Sounds
All
good.
Right. Have a good weekend, guys.
You bet.
All right. Bye.
Well, back on Monday, and then you and I will see each other Wednesday at the Susquehanna Valley Country Club for the Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament.
Boy, that snuck up on me really fast.
Hey, you know what? It's one of the you've been there, but it's just one of the really fun, great events.